Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Gist Podcast.
If you're tired of being comfortable and want to take on living life from the context of 100%, fuck yeah.
Join us each week as we share lessons we're experiencing in this crazy game called life.
We invite you to play along and get your shit together.
Take responsibility for how your life is currently going, and at the same time, take on new, fun, and sometimes crazy shit.
We promise to challenge your thinking by being vulnerable, authentic, and straight up with what we're dealing with, what doesn't work, and what can.
Be warned, this is not your grandma's podcast.
All right.
Episode 15.
Are we recording?
We're recording. We're doing it live, man.
I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad you're here, too. And early. I got to say, I was a bit surprised and a bit delighted and a bit frantic all in the same. Like, oh, shit, I'm not ready.
Yeah, I caught you a little off guard there. I do that sometimes.
It's all good.
I don't have a good track record of being early on Saturday mornings.
Well, and I don't have a very long distance to get to where you need to go in the morning on Saturdays. So it's a bit skewed, let's say.
Indeed. So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about consumerism versus fulfillment. And that might be a bit of an abstract title right now. And let's just say it's a title, a work in progress, as a working title. Hmm. But the overall theme is the difference between us being truly fulfilled in what it is that we are participating in and what we are doing in our lives versus what happens when we are a victim, or maybe there's a better way of saying it, on the consumerism side.
Yeah. I always think of consumerism as people falling into default.
Right. Because I don't want to use the word victim.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
we are all responsible for our own decisions, and there are influences, greater powers that be, that are very good at convincing you you need this thing.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with how our culture, our society, is set up, in the sense that we have about 50 million things that we have to look after on a daily basis, you know,
between literally 50 million.
Yeah. You know, kids and bills and work and, you know, all the things that we have to deal with. So your mind is distracted virtually all the time. And then, like I said, you see some ad 14 times that is going to make your life easier, or so it seems. And then you're in a rush to go out and spend money that you don't necessarily have, or other people's money, borrowed money, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a real strong pull, right? The thing, the shiny object syndrome, just got to have it.
Yeah.
And maybe justifiably so.
It's easy. It's like sitting on the couch and eating a bag of potato chips is much easier than eating six meals a day and meal prepping and going to the gym. Although meal prepping and going to the gym is a lot better for you. Maybe saving money and being really conscious about where you spend it in order to serve the world or bring you joy is more fulfilling than consumerism, but it's just really easy to slip into that consumerism.
Absolutely.
It's like the cultural couch potato
or something. You know, that may be a good one. The cultural couch potato.
Yeah. Consumerism is the cultural couch potato, because it's easy. It's easy to slip into debt. It's easy to think that a trip or a new vehicle or something even small, it's going to make you happy.
I had a Ford dealership call me up the other day.
Of course you did, because you have a Ford.
I do have a Ford, yeah. It's like, so you drive the 2013, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like, well, we're actually looking for people driving 2013s to see if we can buy them back and get you in a new vehicle. And what happened, like, right away, there's this little voice.
Like,
that all of a sudden was not, it awoke. It'd be like,
you're looking for me?
You should check it out.
You're looking for me?
Yeah. It's like, I could, you know how nice it would be to be in a nice new one, like a brand new one?
Yeah.
You should check it out. Literally in that voice. Mm-hmm. Like,
Just check it out. It's no harm.
No, I'm good. I'm pretty happy with my vehicle. Okay, good. Thanks for letting me know.
You know, no problem. You know what would have been interesting? I'm surprised he didn't have a rebuttal, but it would have been hilarious if he said, no, actually, mine's a 2014. He goes, oh, right. Yeah, you know, we're looking for people. That would have been
the next bit. Are you reading something right now?
Yeah. We're actually looking for people with 2014s.
We just thought you were in 2013.
And we found you. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, my buddy's been in a long-term care facility for almost 3 years, and his mailing address is my address. And I still get fucking marketing emails, and or not emails, but marketing brochures and flyers from the Ford dealership that he bought his truck from.
Yeah, there, like,
dude.
It is a at that level, and this is a – it's no surprise that we are a majority distressor nation now as Canadians. The machine, right, that continually just drives – this shit down your throat in the form of your mailbox. I really have a strong disdain for going to my mailbox because I know the majority of it is shit that someone got access to my mailbox and got to put in there. You know what I do? And it's not secret anymore because I'm going to say it right now. I actually take all that junk mail and I put it inside the top where you deliver mail.
Do you know what? That's unfortunate for the mail deliverer person, but maybe I should start doing that because we all should start doing that.
Yeah.
Because the thing is how much privacy now is it for guys like you and me? We're entrepreneurs trying to provide for our family, and it's really challenging these days to reach people, be compliant, stay on site, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but yet,
totally.
Can I just start fucking, you know, not that it's effective, but I can start slamming shit into people's mailboxes? Like, I don't want to see all that paper. I don't want to. It's just, I'm the same way as you.
It adds no value.
I'm the same as you. I know.
Unless it's IKEA. This is just a plug for mine.
For the most part, when I go to the mailbox, same as you, it's a thing that I have to do that takes time out of my day. And it adds more time when I get home because I know that I'm going to either shred a bunch of shit or just literally these ads, they go straight from my mailbox. I don't even look at them.
Yeah, totally.
They go directly into my recycling bin.
Yeah. What a waste.
It's unreal.
You should try putting it back in the mailbox. It's quite liberating. It's like you're fucking it, right? Giving the man a good fuck you. Ouch.
That's just it, though. It's like, oh, but you can't do that. Okay, well, let's break that down for a second. Who says? Well, the system or the owner of the mailbox, the mail carrier or whatever. Okay, well, do I not own that little 6x6 box?
Yeah, that's
don't
my
put
box.
Shit in exactly. My mailbox now.
What are my rights yeah. for my mailbox to not have that stuff there?
Maybe I should. I wonder, what do you think would happen if I plastered a laminated no solicitation on my mailbox?
It might go in. It might not. Here's the thing, man. Like at our other place, I put a rather obvious no flyers.
Oh yeah, and you always
and they would actually. I caught them.
They removed it?
No, they didn't remove it. But they literally put it right on top of it. And they were there. I'm like, hey, come, take this stuff. Can you not read this sign? Like, I don't want it, man. I get it's your job, and I've already gone down this pipeline and this rabbit hole. But I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody else does. I'm not saying that all of us fall in this category, but I'm not it.
Yeah.
Take it away from me, please.
Yeah. I also think with this rabbit hole of consumerism, because it's all encompassing, it's everywhere. Because really, you can be responsible. You can be a responsible consumer, but you can have consumerism everywhere, from the grocery store to the dealership to your cell phone to a website. Like you can spend money anywhere. And I think a lot of people feel trapped around necessity, right? There's confusion between necessity and luxury.
Mm.
And there's a saying, a luxury once used becomes a necessity. So you're not going to buy a vehicle. Well, my car still has, I don't even know what you call it now, hand roller windows, but most vehicles have automatic windows. Yeah. Would you ever consider, can you even buy a vehicle that doesn't have air conditioning? I don't think you can buy a vehicle.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are now things that are standard issue. They're not a bonus anymore. And it's like that all throughout. So I think people kind of slip into this trap of what they think they need and how they acquire it. People have no idea the damage that they're doing to themselves when they just make a simple transaction on their credit card. And then you compound that out over 30 to 50 years. Dude, you're putting millions of dollars in somebody else's pocket.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you're not happy. So there's got to be an answer. And it's I think people are, you had mentioned this earlier, people are shifting their thinking and starting to search for something. And I want you to touch base on something because this is the first time I've been enlightened to this myself. And you'd mentioned it just earlier on the podcast, which was, what did you say?
It's the
non-trusting.
Edelman, yeah, the Edelman Trust Barometer. It's a really interesting. So they are a PR agency, Canadian-based PR agency,
right?
And they do a census on the level of trust mm-hmm. inside of our global community.
Okay.
And last year, Canada shifted over as a majority distrusting nation. So this falls in for institutions, government, mm-hmm. large corporations. We right. do not trust them anymore.
Wow. That's powerful.
It's really interesting, and it's no surprise. So just given the if we were to do like a real quick recap from the 50s up until mm-hmm. right now, and just the cycle of advertising and the persuasion that was born there and earlier, right? Even mm-hmm. even back during the time of when propaganda first came into being, right? Mm-hmm. There's some critical people inside of that world in with the Nazis, and it's crazy.
It's a rabbit hole.
It really is. And that's where it all came from. And it was all in order to convince and persuade that this is something that you need. And at that time we were open because this was all new for us, right? Now we are so inundated, we have had to fight our way through and preserve whatever it is that keeps us human. And so we're standing for something, but unfortunately a lot of us don't know yet, or don't know what that is, and so we're caught. Caught in this space.
I think there's a perpetual feeling of helplessness and like, well, okay, well, this is just how it is. Like the quote unquote, they that we always talk about. Mm. Well, this is what they're doing now. And this is how this is how it is. Well, that it is that way. And they are doing that because we allow it. Yes. We participate in whatever activity or new reform or whatever that they like. Look, things are going to get uncomfortable. They're going to get uncomfortable before they get better. It's just how it is. When you stand up for something that you believe in, it's uncomfortable. And if you don't want to be taken advantage of anymore, and you don't feel as free as they've been telling you you are for your whole life here in Canada, quote unquote, a free nation, which is a complete crock of fucking shit. And if you don't believe me, try not paying your taxes for a bit. You're not free.
Yeah, totally.
You're not free.
The reality of the situation is we are calling out all of these institutions mm-hmm. and calling out their bullshit. This is really where we're at.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going with that, is that you see a lot of these institutions and corporations and even government. It's all about automation these days. It's all about simplifying things. And it's all about making things faster. So there's that movie, Lucky Number 11. Mm. Lucky Number 11. I always refer to this, the Kansas City Shuffle, in the movie, because he says, everybody looks left and we go right, or we look right. And that is literally what the government and the corporations are doing. They're having you focus on certain things, the benefits, the things that are making your life easier and quote unquote more fulfilled. But who really stands to benefit? Is it us that stands to benefit from all this automation and faster processing and all that? Or is that just... is that benefiting somebody else? Is that benefiting
getting to their goal quicker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got present to that the other day. What was it? Something showed up for me. Just the efficiency and even transaction. You know, you got tap now, and mm-hmm. you just get to mm-hmm. to completing the purchase quicker. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's a part of me that just I don't use tap, and this is super weird, maybe. But I don't use tap. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take my fucking time plugging in my PIN, because I get to say that this is what I'm purchasing. It's a ridiculous notion, but it really is perpetuated from that, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's just this push constantly.
Well, I'm taking it one step further, and I'm really liking having cash a lot more and as often as possible, because when I have a 20 in my pocket, man, I sure hang on to it a lot tighter than I do putting in my PIN or tapping my debit card. I just think a lot more consciously about what I'm spending on.
Yeah, there's a a stronger connection to the value that it is. So I have another question. So we're talking about the craziness that is consumerism and the impact that it's having on society. So where I see that the time has come that we get real and provide real value, mm-hmm. because at the end, that's what really makes us feel good. Mm. It can be an easy thing to do. What shows up when we call out the end of the era of bullshit? Well, what does that mean? What would life look like if we actually all did work from that space, provide real value?
First of all, I think that an organization or a company, I have no research to back this, but I feel like they can only get so big and continue to maintain those relationships, whether that looks like, hey, we're still this giant corporation.
Did you ever read the book Reinventing Organizations before? I might have mentioned it before.
No, you did. Yeah, I remember when you were reading it.
It's been a while since I've read it. It's a pretty heavy book, but right. it does point to that.
And
actually, the large corporations, mm-hmm. the real successful ones that have managed to maintain and provide a continual value, like they're clear. So mm-hmm. at a cultural level and then the experience that is occurring in the marketplace, mm-hmm. it's aligned 100%.
Yeah.
And what's happened is they've ensured that autonomy is in place. So while it's a big organization, there are a number of smaller organizations and it's not franchising. That's not what I'm referring to.
Right.
To maintain now the personal connection.
Right. Like you know Bob at the bakery.
You know,
or
and they have ownership at that level. Like this is mine, it's mine to control. And this is not franchising. So mm-hmm. they're all aligned at a deep fundamental level, cultural
level. It's their core values. You don't need a franchise with a bunch of rules if we all have the same values.
Exactly. So it's a different, it's a shift in the perspective of mm-hmm. ownership. For right. one, enrollment, right? Like, this is what we're up to. Do you want to be a part of this? And it's clearly articulated. Mm-hmm. And then there are processes in place to support that and to ensure that it is maintained mm-hmm. so that all you are doing is providing real value to people.
I think the shift that would or could occur, especially now that we're all sort of globally connected, is, I mean, you know, 50 years ago, when everything was a little bit more local and you knew people, you had this local community and a safety inside of that and probably still really sheltered from the world, not really knowing what's going on out there. But if we shifted that on a global basis or, you know, you start small and build it, if people were actually getting more value from the marketplace, that would have I don't think you could measure the impact that could have. Because, I mean, look, we're the ones that shape our world. And if people are happier and more fulfilled, it sounds a bit esoteric, but that's how the world gets changed, man. And these corporations have a huge opportunity and a huge responsibility. They're all about the numbers. And we know it. It's perpetuated everywhere. There might be the odd corporation here or there, but I think I bitched about it on the podcast a couple weeks ago when I was talking to Shaw. Like, they don't give a fuck about you. And as ridiculous as it is because it was internet, phone, and cable, it still makes you feel devalued as a human when Absolutely. They treat you like a number.
Absolutely.
But if they called you and said, hey, Vern, like call you by your name and say like, what's going on? I'm looking at your track record here. Everything's pretty great. And we haven't heard from you in a while. How can we support you? We want to make sure that your services are still looked after and we keep you as a client because we value our relationship. What can we do to help you? Here's a question I have for you. I often find that people talk a lot about what's wrong or here's a problem or they point out something that needs to be changed and then there's a real lack of solution. Mm. So, you know, we're just spitballing here. We're just making this up. But what would it take for people to really get that they have the responsibility? Because, you know, I notice especially on places like Facebook, we're so quick to turn around and go, it's that thing over there. It's their fault, right? Apple, screw you guys because of X, Y, and Z reason. The government, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, that's great, but like, what do you want to have happen? There is no knight in shining armor. Guess what? That's you mm-hmm. and your 100,000 friends that we can now influence to make a change. Like, how do we get people realizing that change starts with the person that's looking back at you in the mirror? As big of a cliche as that is, it's true. It literally comes down to the people. If we want to make change, we have to take responsibility. So how do we actually get people to say, fuck this, I'm done with this, let's make a difference?
I can tell you how.
Ooh.
And it's actually, it can actually be really simple if we allow it to show up, and we allow it and we give it space to grow. And that is that each of us take the time to explore what is it that we want to do in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the difference that we want to make?
Mm-hmm.
What's the impact that we want to make? That actually is of value to the rest of the world. Not just, you know, I want to make a whole bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want to make a whole bunch of money. That's a means to an end.
Yeah, totally.
And after you have all that money, then what?
Yeah.
So it's something much deeper. It's at a deeper level. And when you get clear what your purpose is, well, then you the stars effectively align to have that happen.
Yeah, and I'm experiencing that in real time. However, I'm clear about what my journey has been like, and it hasn't been comfortable, and it hasn't been fun, and it hasn't been easy. I mean, it's fun at times. So I guess what I'm getting at is there's been a lot of overwhelm for me at times. There's been a lot of things that I've had to work through. You have to fail.
It's necessary. You got to have that part.
So what would you say to somebody? What advice would you give when the going gets tough? When you're not even doing anything. You're out living your daily life. You're doing your stuff. But you, in your mind, you're constantly asking, what am I here for? What do I want to do? What impact do I want to have? That can be overwhelming for people. When you start realizing that you've got this laundry list of things that you have to start taking action on in order to create the life that you want. And it could start with decluttering your basement. And that in and of itself is enough to put a lot of people into a tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
So what types of things, or what's a mantra? What could people say to themselves to stay motivated in that space?
Who you surround, and this is coming full circle again.
Yeah.
So who can you reach out to and be like, you know what, I'm just not feeling it today, and I'm a little bit off, but they are clear also what it is that you're up to.
Yeah.
They can be that mantra for you.
Mm-hmm.
So long as the caveat is that you're then willing to take the action that's needed afterwards. Because in the end, and every day I get more clear about this, I am responsible for the action that I take to move it forward. Nobody can clean my basement but me.
Yeah, and for a long time, I certainly ran as far and as fast away from that as I fucking could, man. I can tell you from experience, and I'm not, you know, we're so ashamed to admit that we're human. It's fucked up.
So it's standing in vulnerability and being okay with asking the question, I don't know what's next.
Yeah, what do I do? Like, and how can you help? How can you support me?
I mean, there's some great resources. Tom Bayou from Impact Theory, somebody that I really enjoy to listen to. Mel Robbins, she's got some great philosophies around how to, quote unquote, stay motivated.
Mm-hmm.
There are some influencers in that space that when you allow their insight in and allow it to just, like, just be there for whatever it is, and then look at what it is that you're committed to, with removing the attachment that you need to have it figured out either.
Yeah.
This is a journey. So,
well, that's the toughest thing.
Absolutely.
Speaking from experience, for my personal experience,
it is tough.
The toughest thing is I don't have it figured out, and that there's something wrong with that.
Right.
You know,
and it's actually
not part
of the journey.
Yeah, it's totally part of the journey.
That you come into this world not really clear, and then you get clear if you're willing to continue to have that flag out in front, that there is something bigger than you that you would
absolutely,
that you know that you will make a difference in. And maybe you're not sure what that is yet, but as you have that objective in mind, as open as it is, it starts to form. It starts to show up.
Yeah.
It is your due north, and it especially shows up when you start to hesitate around certain things.
Well,
that's the other thing that I got some real wisdom around, is there is where there is hesitation around things that you think that you would do or would like to do. And then there's that little voice going, yeah, but I don't know. Like, oh, man, what if? And what? That's likely the thing that you should focus in the direction of.
I hear that, man. Yeah. I hear that big time. That's some good stuff. And I think one last thing I'd like to share, you'd mentioned giving yourself some room, giving yourself some space. And just to elaborate on that a bit, at least what I hear is you're going to have down days. Shit, you're going to have down hours. You're going to have down minutes. And I think it's really important to not make that be a bad thing, make something wrong with that. I think allowing yourself to go through those paces, and it's like, as long as you can wake up and breathe, there's another day, there's another opportunity. Just keep going. Maybe today you didn't have the momentum that you wanted, but keep going. Just every day, try again, as they say.
Yeah, so there's this, the work towards the small wins often versus failing to hit the big ones.
Yeah, that's good.
It is incremental. A child does not learn to walk by running.
That's right.
It's impossible.
That's right.
It's not how we do it, yet we create that later on in life, that we should be able to leap and scale tall buildings in a single bound, right? Like it's completely unrealistic, and it's not serving us. So small wins often, and learn, as a takeaway to complete this, is to learn to not float with the highs and get pulled down by the lows.
Yeah.
Because it's not, when you get caught up in the minutia of that, then you are no longer in control of your quote unquote destiny.
Right.
You're at the whim now of emotion.
Emotion. Right. So stay focused on the target.
Yeah. And if you got some wins, awesome.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up that, you know what, I got my shit together and everything's going to be okay, because it's going to happen in a week, in a day. Something's going to hit you and go right back to rock bottom. What that would be is rock bottom. And now you're like, fuck this. It's not working. My life sucks. And but nah, man, you can't do that roller coaster. Mm-hmm. So if you manage neutrality inside of that while still maintaining focus, and that's a discipline of journaling, of representing what your day was like and what worked and what didn't, and that evaluation, unbiased evaluation. There's no pointing of fingers and going, yeah, you sucked because you didn't do this today. It's the reality of the ever-changing dynamic that is out of your control day to day. You don't know what's gonna go on. You can't control all the variables. So
right.
Keeping that in mind will help you and keep you on the path.
So to bring it back to our title, consumerism versus fulfillment, we might not be focused on consumerism, but that's like a default thing that shows up.
Absolutely.
So maybe focus more of your time and energy on fulfillment, and that will have a greater impact and add more value.
Absolutely. That's episode 15. I think we're out.
Mic drop.
Peace.